Hello, and welcome to the Pharma Think Pod. We're ThinkGen. We provide customized marketing research and brand strategy solutions for healthcare companies. We're known for delivering insights that generate results. How? We know the science behind the research, we ask the right questions, and we find and report the relevant insights. In this podcast, we highlight what our clients are thinking about and our thoughts on their thoughts. We know how important it is to focus on what's important, and what's important right now is habits. So let's dive in. Hey, Noah, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. This Jersey Shore girl considers the Friday going into Memorial Day weekend as the unofficial start to summer. So I am here for it. How about you? Of course, I'm, you know, talking with you from Seattle. Well, you're actually in the Philly corridor.
Weather's beautiful here. We both got our ThinkGen sportswear on, so I'm ready to go. Let's talk about habit.
Let's talk about habit. So today we're going to be talking about, we'll make our case for evaluating customer habits as part of a successful commercial model. And we know that this is probably a summer where many of our clients are preparing for the 2024 brand planning season, if they're not well underway already. I know that when I was in an insights role, now would be the time over the summer when I would take a look at all of the market research that we've done over the past year to update the annual situation analysis, the story of the brand from a data-driven perspective. And I would take that as the insights lead and be prepared to present it to my commercial stakeholders as the entry point to the brand planning process. What's been your experience with that, Noah?
I mean, I haven't been on the inside like you have, but, you know, typically this time of year, we're doing a lot of studies, a lot of interviews, talking to a lot of doctors and basically trying to identify those gems that are going to prepare our teams for, you know, the fourth quarter and whatever tactics or strategies they're planning, as well as going into next year.
Yeah, so. And it's just a ton of market research. And really, the impetus for our habit lens is it is a ton of market research. And yet, what I had observed is that most pharma marketing teams, and as you know, I was a head of marketing. I was a vice president of marketing, and I've worked as a marketing leader for over 15 years in my career. And we have a blind spot. We significantly overestimate customer demand for new treatments. And then we overlook or underestimate that behavioral inertia, right? These ingrained behaviors, or what we would colloquially call habit. And these have to be overcome, you know, not only just to meet our commitment to the organizations that we work for from a business perspective, but more fundamentally, when we think about the incredible investment it takes for new products to go through a very costly research and development process, a regulatory process, for those new products to reach the hands of patients who need them most, we can't have blind spots like this in pharmaceutical brand planning. So I'm so gratified that we as ThinkGen are in a position now where we can provide an informed and proven solution and answer to this need. Marketing teams at this juncture must incorporate a deep understanding of customer habits, preferably at the earliest stages of launch planning and demand forecasting. This to me means phase two or phase three. And the type of research and analysis that we're going to talk about on today's podcast will help these commercial teams more fully grasp the drivers and barriers of that behavioral inertia so that they can design and calibrate their launch priorities, their strategic imperatives for the year accordingly. I know that many of our listeners who are part of the pharma industry, we sort of chuckle when we think about how behind pharma tends to be because it is such a highly regulated industry. But, you know, tech companies, social media companies, CPG companies, they've been doing this for years. I mean, really benefiting from the neuromarketing insights of habit understanding. And yet very few pharmaceutical companies do this today. Yeah. Noah, what is your perspective on that?
Well, I think it's important to take a step back and to understand some of the fundamentals around habits and the recent literature into habits. So as you were saying, colloquially, we use the word habit. We define a habit as a routine behavior that's regularly performed without conscious deliberation. Think for a moment in your own lives about eating breakfast or driving to work or any of the other mundane kinds of tasks that you do. These mundane behaviors we perform automatically. And as the research has shown, these habits have enabled us to survive. They enable efficiency. They help us get through the day. And it's estimated, in fact, that 40 to 50% of our daily behaviors are habitual. Research has also shown that people establish habits, not surprisingly, through repetition. We're conditioned to act when triggered by a specific cue that appears within a stable environment, which we refer to as a context. And we repeat that behavior reflexively as a function of reinforcement, reward. So think about psychologist B.F. Skinner, who did the animal experiments with a sort of hit the lever, get the pellet. It's a cycle. And the more we do something and receive a reward, the more it becomes literally hardwired into the circuitry of our brain. And the research into neurobiology proves this. So when we, as healthcare marketers, we often think about healthcare providers as fundamentally rational decision makers who consciously deliberate over the costs and benefits of each and every treatment decision. But what we have seen, and certainly other literature has shown, is that physicians also develop habits, and sometimes very strong habits. And this is rooted in the context in which they practice, a context that's characterized these days by limited time, by oftentimes situational clinical variability amongst patients, and oftentimes high risks. Anyone who has launched a pharmaceutical product, particularly in crowded or genericized market spaces, know well that healthcare providers' ingrained habits can really counteract adoption. So, in preparation for launch, marketers typically have their patient journey, they've done the patient journey, they've done their competitive landscape, they've explored the unmet needs, they've looked at the potential demand for their target product profile. But what we haven't had, and I think you're going to talk about this next, Audrey, is a methodology to rigorously evaluate customer habits, nor have they really had a way to incorporate an understanding of habits as part of the brand planning process. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about how we've developed a habit lens in response to this.
Yeah, I just, again, am so proud of the work that we've done in this area. Our habit lens really is intended to correct this blind spot that I experienced over the course of my career, having worked on dozens of brand plans. And so the habit lens is one that we've developed specifically for the needs of the pharmaceutical industry. Podcast listeners, please go back and listen to our first episode where Noah did talk about this as well. But it bears repeating that ThinkGen's Habit Lens is a behavioral science framework that we designed specifically for commercial teams in the pharmaceutical industry. It's intended to reveal the mechanics of a habitual behavior and identify ways to disrupt or sustain those behaviors. In fact, many of the clients that we've worked with who we've piloted this approach with have begun to leverage this framework as part of their commercial planning process. For those companies, it could be their secret sauce. It's giving them a leg up on their competition. And these are the companies that see that understanding habit and leveraging neuroscience-driven insights are, in fact, critical to the success of their brands. So the habit lens includes a systematic deconstruction of a given behavior. It's based on our habit cycle, which is a model that examines the components of routine activities within the healthcare ecosystem. We built this cycle based on progressive, modern academic and popular literature on human habit dynamics. It assimilates the writings and work of Nir Yao, Charles Duhigg, and Dr. Neil Martin, who we collaborated closely with on the cycle. The advantage of doing a cycle analysis, a habit cycle analysis, is that it helps the pharmaceutical marketer to better understand why a behavior that might be stubborn, irrational, or antiquated, is highly ingrained. And it also helps to illuminate, you know, shed light on how that habit might be disrupted and how a new habit can be created. This is not intended to replace current market research studies. I think it's really important to point that out. This is intended to complement the standard repertoire of market research studies that we do today. Together with those existing market research methodologies, you know, that seek to understand how customers make conscious decisions, understanding habit provides a complete picture of the dynamics that influence use of pharmaceutical products. And I want to make that point again. The existing market research methodologies that we have today, and NOAA ThinkGen is one of the best market research companies in the business for executing those studies. Those studies seek to understand how customers make conscious decisions. But we must all understand that many of the decisions that healthcare stakeholders make have already been made. These are pre-made, already done, litigated once. I have decided my routine is based on pre-made, pre-done decisions. That is what the habit lens is intended to look at. So we have to look at conscious decisions and decisions that have already been made. And only the habit lens looks at those decisions that have already been made.
Yeah. And as we've seen, those clients of ours that have collaborated with us have been able to step back and to strategically examine the behavioral priorities for a brand, the team needs to disrupt an existing habit, for example, or to create a new habit, or in some cases to maintain or build upon an existing habit. And each of those situations involves a unique set of considerations, which we'll display here on the screen in a moment. Let me give you an example. So to disrupt an existing habit, the brand team needs to determine how to bring a customer's conscious attention to their existing behavior, which should trigger a deliberative process that fosters the opportunity for that new behavioral routine to be intentionally considered. Now, that's a very important juncture. Once that new behavioral routine is trialed by customers, it's critical that the behavior is associated with a direct and distinct feeling of reward that reinforces repetition. We talked about before the notion that a habit is fostered based upon a cue, a trigger that occurs within a stable context and where there is a clear and ideally proximal, meaning near-term reward, which again gets us craving to receive that reward again. We see in our habit research that customers have to go through a process of a rewarding product trial several times before they start to change their ingrained, entrenched behavioral patterns such that this new behavior becomes their default and eventually their unconscious automatic choice. So we have for your consideration, Audrey will present a quick case study where we saw how important the context was in the creation of a new behavior.
Yeah, thank you, Noah. When I think about the six nodes that are part of our habit cycle, obviously cue or trigger is incredibly important. No one is going to dispute that. But I'll tell you, one of the unsung heroes of the habit cycle is context. Context is everything. Context is the foundation, honestly, of the habit landscape. Neil Martin would say, you think about context as when you open up the refrigerator, in the morning, you are focused on the breakfast part of the refrigerator. You know, you're looking for orange juice, eggs, cream for your coffee. At dinner time, it's a different context. It's your dinner refrigerator. It could be, you know, the steak you want to grill for dinner, or the salad. In the morning, when you open up the refrigerator for your breakfast, you're not even looking at the dinner part. And at dinner, when you open up the refrigerator looking for your dinner refrigerator, you're not even seeing the creamer. So context is everything. And so we always have to look at it, because it's the frame and the foundation for how customers see the business. So in this case study of insomnia, what we know, and hopefully this is a therapeutic area that many are able to grasp, even if you haven't worked in it formally, is, you know, context matters. Doctors, they're not really keen to prescribe treatments for insomnia because there's so many perceived behavioral punishments. There's adverse events, there's fear of habituation that are associated with older medications such as benzodiazepines. There's perceived lack of effectiveness, and we use that term effectiveness deliberately. This is the efficacy of the medication in a real world setting. And there's also insurance pushback against newer medications. But when we look at insomnia, you know, sort of overall versus specifically in the context of very challenging to treat conditions like Alzheimer's disease, the Alzheimer's disease context is completely different. There, successfully treating insomnia can be particularly rewarding and empowering, since it's among the only symptoms in patients who are living with Alzheimer's disease where doctors can actually exert some control. And so we worked on a study to help our client identify the cues and rewards that can help activate new behavior when managing insomnia in patients with Alzheimer's disease and those over age 65. But the benefit of the habit lens here is that if you're applying, you know, what you believe and you understand about the treatment of insomnia in the overall population to a construct for Alzheimer's disease, that's simply, you know, not appropriate. And yet many of our clients, and we would too, would bring preconceived notions of the treatment of insomnia even into that market research space. The habit lens gives us a more rigorous way to examine what we're hearing from physicians and translate what we're hearing into something that is very much, you know, relevant, and that we can be sure is relevant for the treatment of the condition and for the brand strategy in question. Now, what else did you observe about this study?
Well, again, I think just the notable contrast in terms of how challenging it is and frankly unsatisfying it is to manage a condition like Alzheimer's. But this particular element, which is very common in Alzheimer's disease patients, insomnia, sundowning effect, that this is something that doctors feel is a bright spot, something that they can actually exert some control over through the various treatment measures that are types of treatment that are available today. So I think that was a kind of an interesting, when you sort of put on the different lens of the context of Alzheimer's disease, it just totally shifts the way that the physician might look at managing this condition, and you start to think about the opportunities to create a habit there in that context. So this is a very interesting study.
Yeah.
But anyway, this has been a great discussion. I think where we want to leave you off today is that there has been, as I think we've tried to point out, a critical pillar in the brand and launch planning process and agenda of activities that's missing. And as Audrey has said and recognized as a marketing leader herself, that there's a need for an intentional, systematic evaluation of customer habit. Customer habit is a major force of behavior, and it, you know, when we think about how companies approach brand planning today, you're thinking about their stakeholders making deliberate decisions, which is just simply not the case. And that is preventing treatments that reflect substantial investments in R&D funding, costly regulatory approval process and journey from meeting their full potential and really reaching the patients that need them most. So we feel strongly and have seen through over 30 studies that incorporating the habit lens and habit understanding into brand planning is essential. And doing it as early as possible really helps to, you know, bake the insights into the process, even the clinical development process, not just the commercial planning process, as best as possible, so that you're looking at how to, you're really looking at this through the lens of the fact that ultimately these customers have very strong habits that need to be changed. So anything else, Audrey, before we finish up today? Any other thoughts?
I don't think so. Of course, we have a publication in process that we're happy to share with anyone listening, and I'm excited to see that in print. And with that, this is standing in the way of me and my grill. So.
All right. Well, you have a wonderful,
have a wonderful
holiday weekend. Big
Day
high
weekend.
Five.
Boop.
All right.
Thank you, Noah. We'll talk again next week.
All right.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Think Pod. If you want to follow us and learn more about what we do, as well as more news about our podcast, you can follow us on LinkedIn, SoundCloud, and Spotify. We also have a website, which is thinkgen.com. That's a slash between think and gen, where we post all about upcoming articles, our work, as well as new insights we're discovering along the way. Now, make sure you tune in not this Monday, but next Monday, because we are very excited to have our first ever special guest, Dr. Jamie Haddock, on the show. So be sure to tune in then, and we will see you later. Have a great week.